In this study about the Ten Commandments, and I appreciate, I've heard from so many of you, that's not the case every week. Sometimes we're just teaching and preaching, but I've heard from so many of you this last week who have just been excited and expressed your appreciation for the teaching. Maybe it's something you've never heard before, or you've just never been a part of a study like this. It is kind of old school Bible study in some ways, understanding how this came about and the reason behind the Lord giving these Ten Commandments. And the Lord did give these Ten Commandments. That's why man cannot take them away. That's why man cannot legislate them, because they do not belong to man, they belong to God. He gave these to us and wanted us to live according to them. But the language is old. What does this mean? How what does this look like in 2025? I understand don't murder is don't murder. I can figure that out, but how do I live all of these commandments in current context and in current culture? What does that look like? And so we're taking a deep dive into the Ten Commandments, not studying them as rules, but rather as values that we can build our lives on. I want to build my life according to the Word of God and have His values in my heart. Because mankind, you and I have our ideas of what freedom should look like, or maybe what we want freedom to look like. We've probably all lived a season of our lives where we just did whatever we wanted to do and whatever felt good and whatever, you know, turned us this way or that, just lean into that. But it didn't lead to anything positive or good or beneficial in our lives. Why? Because mankind, he likes his ideas of freedom, but man's idea of freedom is too far from God's best for us. Man needs boundaries. Men, women, mankind, we need guidelines. And so today we're going to look at the second of the Ten Commandments. I'll read it for you, Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5. It's also on the screen if you want to follow along. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Does that seem clear to anybody today? I want to read it again, and then I'll finish the rest of verse 5. He said, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. That's the edict. That's the law. That is the command. And then he goes on to give the consequence of doing that. He said, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So when we think of the word idol, when we think of idolizing something, what does that mean? To idolize something is to value something more than God. If you make an idol of something, you are placing that above God. You're placing that ahead of God. And I'm talking to people that are in the house of the Lord, and you're saying, wait a minute, I need this explained. I don't think I have any idols in my life. I don't think I've you know, I'm not into that sort of thing. I don't really know how this applies to me, but I think you would be surprised how easy it is to idolize things and to make these little gods of sometimes of people or of ideals or mindsets that we begin to put so much stock in, that we begin to make such priority in our lives that they really start to compete with God in our lives. And we don't want that. Don't idolize anything, and don't idolize anyone. You and I are better. We are better when we learn to distinguish between enjoying or respecting something or someone and idolizing that thing or that person. Because God said, I am a jealous God. He said, I'm just going to admit this to you. I'm a jealous God. I don't like you giving your affection to anyone else. I don't like you substituting anything else for me or in place of me. I want you to keep me first place in your life. We see that in the first commandment. And now, again, some of the similar language around the second commandment. I'm a jealous God. I don't want you to accept any substitute in your life. Paul ventures into some of this teaching in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. He said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. He said, I'm big enough, I'm grown enough to do whatever I want. I can make my own decisions, but what I've learned having lived some life now is that I may be able to do whatever I want, but that thing is not always beneficial to me. I'm grown enough to do what I want to do, but that is not helpful for me. So all things are lawful for me. I'm grown enough to do whatever I want, but I will not be brought under the power of any of that. I'm not going to be slave or bound to any of those things. I'm not making an idol out of any of those things. So you see, reading, just casual reading in the Old Testament, you're gonna read about idols, because they were a people who made idols of way too many things. But there were three primary idols in the Old Testament. And I say primary because there were many more than just these three, but these are three that stand out, that we see them repeated over and over and over again, and people continued to struggle with them. And I believe that they are even familiar to us today. The same idols, same substitute, same things that people reach for, the same things that people worship. The first of those Old Testament idols was Baal. Baal. Baal represented or was the god of sex. And I don't want to oversimplify that, but Baal was specifically the god of fertility. And there was a lot that came under that heading, because they used Baal to justify ritual prostitution. They began, because this is what their flesh wanted to do. Their flesh, you know, wanted to be free, but they had to somehow make this a spiritual thing. And so you often see it called out in the Old Testament as whoredom. I know that's an unkind word, or spiritual adultery. It was sexual immorality that was mixed in with religion. I know I could spend some time here, but there's a lot to unpack, but I'm just going to stick with the info. Baal was the god of sex. The second idol that you see repeated over and over again throughout the Old Testament is Mammon, which is the god of money. Again, we're not strangers to the idolization of money. We touched on that last Sunday, how money controls people and controls their choices, and I use it very loosely because money is amoral. Money has no barometer of right and wrong. Money does not have a brain, nor does it think for itself. Money obeys whomever is spending it. Think about that. Money obeys whomever is spending it. Mammon is the god of money. And then the third idol that we see repeated in the Old Testament is Molech, which is the god of war, the god of fighting. Little g, all of these little g gods. The god of war, the god of fighting. People go into war to take territory, to gain power. We see this happening today with politicians, with world leaders. There's a war right now between Russia and Ukraine. It's over territory. It's over land. Probably some other things mixed in there as well. But that's the root of it. Russia wants more of Ukraine land. It is this fighting, this war to take more and to get more and to have more power. I'm wondering if you've seen the correlation yet. I'm wondering if you see the familiarity yet to the things that we battle in 2025. It's power, money, sex. That's the gods of this world. It's the same idols in new clothes. It's the same struggles in new circumstances. It's the same sins in new temptations. What's amazing in 2025 is we can binge watch all of these idols on our favorite streaming platform. It's at our fingertips. We can see this right in full HD, right there on our screen. We can watch the idols of this world. And some idols are not metal, because you may be thinking, well, I know about, you know, the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar, 90 feet tall, the one that he erected and commanded Daniel and ultimately the three Hebrew boys to bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down to this 90-foot tall idol. They built these idols and they erected them. Everyone was looking for a god they could worship and all of those things. Dagon in the Bible, that the Philistines used to replace the ark, to replace the power of God. That did not work. It only left them in complete disarray. So some idols are not metal, or they are not tangible. Sometimes the idol is mental. It's not something you carry. It's not something you have in your pocket, but it's something emotional in your life. So let me ask you that question. Is there anything in your life that you value more than God? Is there anything that you put a premium on, or you put ahead of God in your life? Deuteronomy 4, verses 15 and 16. Let me just grab the important portion of that. He said, "From your own good, for your own good, then make certain that you do not sin by making for yourselves an idol in any form at all." Because this is not going to lead you where you want to go. This is not going to do for you what you hope it will do. Do not make an idol for yourself. I want to give you three reasons to reject all idols today. We just teach, and if you're taking notes, you can write these things down. Why should we run from idols? First of all, idols will disappoint me. Idols will disappoint me. Anything I put ahead of God will disappoint me. I'm going to say that again. That's not a profound statement, I know. It's not an Xable. It's not a Facebook post. It's not sexy. the terminology, but it is a fact. Anything I put ahead of God will disappoint me. Gonna disappoint me. Not everybody believes that. Not everyone hearing that today believes that. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm feeling it out. I'm working it out. I'm thinking through it. I'm good. The Bible teaches us that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. So what may feel good right now, it felt pretty good when I left the house this morning and the garage opened and I thought, oh, that air is just a little bit cool. I don't imagine it's still cool out there. I don't know what the high is supposed to be today, but fall is coming and we're all grateful and salivating and thinking about it and excited about it. Seasons change. And if you're in a season right now where the pleasure seems great and the sin is working and the relationship over here on the side seems like it's fulfilling all of your needs, I promise you the season is going to change. Because anything that you put ahead of God is going to disappoint you. Anything that you put in place of God, you may not be there yet. You may not be able to hear that or accept that. Because you know what we do. We stay busy blaming anything and anyone besides ourselves. It's someone else's fault. It's someone else did it. Jeremiah 10, 14, and 15. This is not my words. I didn't translate this. This is contemporary English version. It's a little rude, but he said, people who make idols are so stupid. They will be disappointed because their false gods are not alive. Idols are merely a joke, and when the time is right, they will be destroyed. I know it's rude. I know it's disrespectful, but maybe it will jar us to think for just a moment. If I'm making an idol out of something, I'm not. It's not my finest moment. It's not my smartest decision. This is not my best choice. I'm going to be disappointed. What is the source of that disappointment? What have we put on a pedestal that has not lived up to our expectation? And again, these are things you're going to have to jot down in your notes because you need some time to think through this and to process this and maybe journal your way through this. What have I put on a pedestal in my life that has left me disappointed? Did I make an idol out of that? Am I making an idol out of my career? Am I making an idol out of earning more money? Am I making an idol out of education? I've just got to get one more degree. Sure, that's great. That's wonderful. But at some point, you have to start producing. At some point, you have to start doing. At some point, you have to start living. Have I made an idol out of those things? Have I made an idol out of wedding cake? Have I made an idol? Did I build something up so great and so big in my mind? Be careful what you put on a pedestal. Jim Carrey is a famous actor and comedian. He said, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed so they could see that it's empty and vain. I read in Deion Sanders' book, he's a famous Hall of Fame NFL player and now college coach. He literally drove his car off of a cliff trying to commit suicide. He said, I was running on fumes. I was empty and had no hope. Success almost ruined my life. That's what he recounted in his book, appropriately titled Power, Money, and Sex. After surviving a 30 to 40 foot fall after driving off a cliff, he said he had finally, he got on his knees and gave it all to the Lord. Why? Because idols will disappoint me. Here's the second fact about idols. Idols will dominate me. Not only will idols disappoint me, idols will dominate me. Idols are about control. In fact, they will not stop until they have control. It's not in my notes, but when you get over in the book of James, he talks about, Jude, I think, rather, talks about sin. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings death. You and I think we're in control. We'll stop this. You know, we can quit this anytime we want. We can turn this loose anytime we, just soon as we get ready. Just, no. The Bible said lust is conceived. It brings sin. And sin, when it, that means you are no longer in control. That means I am no, it wants to dominate the idol, the thing that we value more than we value. God wants to dominate our lives. You say, Pastor D, is it really that serious? Is it not? If you've ever been bound in sin, tied up in addiction, struggling, feel like you can't get out of something, and you know sin absolutely will control, you know that idols want to dominate you. 1 Corinthians 12 and 2, again, Paul is teaching. He said, you know that while you were still heathen, while you were yet sinners, the King James says, you were led astray in many ways to the worship of lifeless idols. You say, wait a minute, I wasn't worshiping sin. Go back to the definition. Anything I value more than God, it becomes an idol in my life. Jesus said it in John 10 and 10. He said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's not coming to patty cake, cuddle, and hold hands. He's coming for keeps. He's coming to do damage. He's coming and will not turn loose. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus that destroys the yoke of the enemy. I'm so thankful that I can find peace and help and healing and an altar. I'm so thankful that no matter what the struggle is, if you're in this room today and feel like, wait a minute, whoa, I don't know if there's a rest of the message. I'm stuck right here because I am in that situation. I am the one addicted. I am the one struggling. I am the one who needs help in my life. I'm here to tell you that you are in the right place at the right time, worshiping the right God, big G God. This is not an idol. He is the one true living God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Idols will try to dominate us. Here's the third truth about idols. Idols will deform me. Idols will disappoint me. Idols will dominate me. Idols will deform me. Because here's the truth. Idols want to change you. How many times have we said, you know, she's just not the same since she started dating him? Them drugs ruined him. He's not the same person. What happened? Idols will deform you. Psalm 115 and 8, those who make them, talking about idols, those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in them, because idols want to change you. They want to completely alter your life. Idols will deform you. This is what the Lord said, Jeremiah 2, 5. They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. That's the word of the Lord. I know that's strong. That's strong teaching. Please come back next week. Come back the week after that. I know it's strong teaching. But who controls you forms you. What you allow to be the loudest voice in your life is the voice that will shape you. That's why you got to make sure there's balance in your life. I'm not saying you completely quiet the world. I'm not saying you completely turn the volume off in the world. I'm not saying you only have to listen to worship music. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm going to make sure that the greater balance is going to be the God influence in my life. I'm going to make sure that Jesus is in the first place and has first priority in my life. If I'm chasing career, I'm going to make sure that there is still time carved out in my busy, chaotic, crazy schedule to put God first, because I'm not going to make an idol out of anything. I'm not going to idolize anyone. I'm going to keep him as Lord of my life. Does anybody else feel that way about your relationship with the Lord? You say, Pastor, this sounds really old-fashioned. It is really old-fashioned. But we live in a culture that makes the old-fashioned sound crazy when the old way is still the best way. The life submitted and committed to God is still the best life to live. He said they followed worthless idols. They became worthless. That's why we have to turn from what's worthless to the only one who is worthy of our worship. You can make that turn today. You can make that switch today. You can make that change in your life today. I watched three young people get baptized just Sunday before last. One was 24, 23, 20. To just young people. I watched them come out of the water just visibly moved and shaken and shaking under the power of the Lord. What happened? Somebody just made a switch. Someone just turned from idols to worship. Someone just turned from sin to Savior. Someone just turned from no to yes. And Lord, I want to worship you. I want to magnify you. I want to bless your name, because that's what worship is. Worship is saying, I want to give my highest love and my highest devotion to God. If to idolize means to value something more or above God, worship means I'm giving my highest love and my highest devotion to God. Does anybody feel like worshiping the Lord and just saying, hey, Lord, I know who you are, and I praise you today. I give my highest love and devotion. So I gave you three dangers about idols. Let me give you three benefits of worshiping only God. Well, first of all, it will delight me. Whew. It will bless me. Don't delight in fool's gold. There's a difference. There's a difference between delight and desire. What we delight in will direct our desires. If you set your affections on the things of God, suddenly you become more interested in the things of God. If you start building your delight around the things of God, I was preaching in Texas this last week, a night of revival, and there was a young lady that came wanting prayer, and I loved the honesty of her prayer. I loved the sincerity of her prayer. She said, I just need prayer. I need prayer for friends. And of course, my heart broke, because I sensed there was a loneliness there, and there was a sadness there, and maybe even borderline depression. I just need friends, but I understood everything in that prayer request was the culture is saying every time I meet someone at school, every time I meet someone at work, they always want to drag me into something. They always want to take me somewhere. They always want me to get involved in something that my heart will not get involved in. My spirit says no to. So I need godly friends. I need people in my life that want to pursue the same things. All of our young adults in the room today, all of our students today, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That's what the old adage says. If you're around the right people, that's why I want to build my life on blessing. I want to establish relationships. Does that mean I can't say hello to sinners? No, say hello to sinners. Bring them into your camp. Influence them instead of them influencing you. Build your life on blessing. Delight yourself in the Lord. And you'll see your desires change. You'll see your desires change. What you want and what you crave will change. We can miss out on our heart's desires because our hearts do not delight in God first. Psalm 37 and 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Worship will delight me. Let me give you the second one as I close. When I worship only God, it will deliver me. When I worship God, it will deliver me. I hope you're starting to see this today. I know the enemy wants to dominate you, but God wants to set you free. Paul said, there's a war in my members. When I would do good, evil is present, but there's always this battle. There's this struggle. And some of you, maybe you didn't have language for that to put that to words as to what it is you're feeling in your mind and what you're feeling in your heart, but it is this tug of war. You feel God. You feel his presence. You sense and you have this awareness of God. And he's saying, come on, come on. The old cartoon would have an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. And both are trying to vie for your attention. But hear me, the Lord is not going to sit and compete with the devil. You and I are going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to make a decision. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect overnight. That doesn't mean we're going to have it all together overnight. That doesn't mean we're going to walk a straight line overnight. But if I will delight myself in the Lord, I don't know what it is about that church, but I get something out of it. I'm going. No, I don't have all my stuff together. No, my ducks are not in a row. It's a bunch of chaos behind me, but I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. I'm going to go into his presence. I'm going to open this book. I'm going to listen to his word on my earphones. I'm going to make sure that I am growing in the things of God. Why? Because worshiping him, putting him first, it delivers me. And I want to be delivered. I don't imagine there's a single person in this room, not one individual, who would say, no, I'd rather be bound up. No, I don't want to be delivered. You're not delivered because you don't think you can be. You're not free because you don't believe you can be. But you don't want to be bound up. You just don't know how to get free. You just don't know how to get delivered. But I'm telling you, there is a way. God has a plan. God has a miracle with your name on it. The enemy wants to dominate you, but God wants you to be free. Jesus wants to build you up, not tear you down. That's why I accept no substitutes. I accept no substitutes for the only true and living God in my life. I accept no substitutes. John 8, 31, 32, I love it. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Meaning if you put value in my word, you're my disciples. I'm not saying if you live it perfectly. I'm not saying if you walk in perfect holiness. If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, because you can't hear my teachings. I'm just unpacking what Jesus said. The words are in red. You can't hear this kind of teaching every single week and it not change you. It's impossible. And that has nothing to do with me. That's not personality specific. But you can't hear this word. The Bible said the words of this book, they are life. They are life. They're not death. They're life. That's why I challenge you, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the struggle is, if you will keep coming to church, if you will keep getting word every single week, eventually God will win in your life. Are there any testimonies in this room? I feel like there's somebody sitting beside you right now that could say, oh yeah, I've been there. I was there. But God rebuilt my life. God reestablished my life. God transformed my life. God renewed my life, and I am free today. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, because hearing the teaching means that the word is getting down into your spirit. It's getting to your mind. The mind is governed by the will. The will is encouraged or inspired by your spirit. Your spirit gets fed, and then it starts speaking to your will, saying, come on, you ought to live for God. Come on, you ought to serve the Lord. And then your will starts speaking to your mind. I want to serve the Lord. How do I serve the Lord? What do I need to cut out of my life? What do I need to say no to? And then your mind begins to generate disciplines. And how can I do this differently? I'm going to cut that off. I'm going to say no to that. And before you know it, the Bible said, and the truth then has made you free. Before you know it, you were just inspired one Sunday, but that inspiration, spiritual inspiration, led to your freedom. Because when you worship the Lord, it will deliver you. He said in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, that's Jesus. It's not a program, it's not an idea, it's Jesus who delivered me. Whew, I feel the Lord in this room today. Here's the last. If you worship the Lord, if you put him first, not only will it delight you, not only will it deliver you, it will develop you. If an idol can deform you, then worshiping the Lord true and holy, having him first place in your life, it will develop you. Who do you want to be? What do you want God to do in your life? What kind of marriage do you want? What kind of parent do you want to be? What kind of business do you want to operate, own, work in, manage, supervise? What do you want to do? Most importantly, what is God asking you to do? Because the truth is, we become like who we love. We become who we worship. You can spend the next 5 years saying you're not enough, you're not worthy, you're not valuable, you're not smart, you're not capable, You could tell yourself that every single day or today. In this moment, in this atmosphere, you can say, you know what? I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I've done anything to deserve anything good in my life. And yet here I am with these doodads running up and down my arms and the hair on the back of my neck standing up. What is that? It's the presence of the Lord telling you that every lie you believed in your mind that hasn't built your life and hasn't blessed your life and hasn't led you to anything good, it was a waste. If you'll trust in me, if you'll hold to my teaching, if you'll just be my disciple, I am going to free you and I'll develop your life. And instead of being negative for the next 5 years, in 5 years you'll look back and say, I don't even know who that was. I don't even know how I got from where I was to where I am. All I can say is if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. All I know is that God has been good to me because I'm not who I used to be. I don't think like I used to think. I don't live the way I used to live because the Lord has developed me. The Lord has made a way in my life. That's why I worship him. That's why I praise him. Get out of your head, sir. Get out of your head, ma'am, and put on the mind of Christ because he has a plan for your life. Come on, somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel you, Lord. You feel that right there? That's the presence of God. Now, Lord, follow your word with signs and wonders and miracles. For the couple in this room who've been in stress for a long season, they think it'll never change, it'll never get better. You can start developing today. You can start working today. Not that you haven't been wanting to work, we just haven't let you work. What if in our marriage we put you first? For the parent wrestling with the teenager, the strong will, the obstinate, the hurting boy, discipline's not making a difference. I got to do something different. I got to get in your presence, Lord, so that you can develop, so that you can deliver, so that you can delight. I'm tired of my addiction, I'm tired of my sin, I'm tired of shame. So today, I put on your mind. Put on your mind. Lord, I accept no substitute. No substitute. No idol. No small g God. I worship you. I worship you.